Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Cross-Sectorial Approaches to Creating Healthy Places. My name is Kara Drain, and I'm the facilitator for our session this morning. We have three experts who are here today to share their approaches to creating healthy places. I am a senior planner with Catawba Regional Council of Governments in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I'm also a member of the American Planning Association, and I serve on the board of directors for APA. Before I introduce our panelists this morning, I'm going to take a few moments to tell you a little bit about the American Planning Association and about the work that we do and the role that planners play in creating great communities that are also healthy. The American Planning Association and its nearly 40,000 members are dedicated to making great communities happen. Our members are leaders in initiatives regarding the environment, the economy, and equity. We have three national research centers for planning: planning and community health, green communities, and hazards. The image that is on the slide is of the Flint Farmers Market in Flint, Michigan. And APA recognizes great places in America each October. We recognize great public places, great streets, and great neighborhoods. And great communities are also healthy communities. So one of our health centers is Planning and Community Health. And this center for APA works to advance plans and policies that promote the environment and promote public health. Through the leadership of Anna Rickland, who is manager of the center, there are three focus areas: active living, food systems, and health in all planning policies. The Planning and Community Health Center conducts research, convenes stakeholders, and promotes health planning work of all of our APA members. Some of the recent work that is going on with APA includes comprehensive plans in health, safe routes to parks, the health benefits of green infrastructure, growing food connections, health and development review processes, and health impact assessments. The health impact assessments help communities because it helps communities evaluate programs and policies and how they will impact public health. And it makes recommendations on changes that can be made that will enhance public health before a project or a program is implemented. In the coming months, APA will release a report that will share how health impact assessments and the planning field work together. Currently, a third of all planning health impact assessments involve a planning decision. The Plan for Health program is one of the most exciting programs that APA is currently involved in. And the Plan for Health is a collaboration of APA and APHA members. And this project focuses on looking at communities that are either going to increase access to food, healthy foods, or also increase active living. And so in year one, there were 18 grantees that were funded, and you see those listed on the screen. But the work that is being done in these communities is done through coalition of APA members and APHA members. And so the outcome of these projects are going to help communities revamp the built environment to create greater access to foods and active living. So tomorrow there is going to be a session that three of the grantees will be sharing their work that is being done. And one of those is the St. Louis project. And in St. Louis, unfortunately, they were designated a focus city by the American Highway Safety Administration, because what happened is, in their accidents that were occurring, when there was a fatality, 37% involved a pedestrian. And this was because their streets were prioritized for a vehicle, or either for speed, and not for a pedestrian. And so what the project in St. Louis, it's called the HEAL Partnership, they are looking at what types of traffic calming techniques can be implemented to improve public safety and walkability. And so the great thing about this project is that the city will be able to look at what type of traffic calming techniques they can implement to reshape their corridors to create safe pedestrian spaces. If you're from the Chicago area, there are two grantees from the Chicago area, Bensonville and Kane County. So I encourage you, if you want to know more about these projects, to look at the session that's going to be held tomorrow. In the last minutes before I introduce our first speaker, I wanted to share with you about why planning for health is so important. Ron Sims, who's the former Deputy Secretary of HUD, he was our keynote speaker at the American Planning Association conference this year. And he inspired planners to plan for healthy communities with parks and sidewalks and trails and access to healthy foods. And he reminded us that planners are charged not with the present, but with guiding us into the future. And planners play a key role because we do influence policy decisions on land use and transportation. And so you can see the items that are listed that are critical to the welfare of our communities and help create healthy communities for our residents. Some of the work that I'm involved in my job is developing a unified development ordinance, which is basically a zoning and subdivision ordinance. It's an update for a county that recently updated their long-range comprehensive plan. And in the ordinance, we're looking at, with all new developments, having a variety of parks that are required to allow open space and parks for all developments, regardless of where they are. I'm also involved in a Blue Ways plan that's a regional plan in our four-county area. And the plan is a partnership between our COG and the National Park Service and through their Rivers, Trails, and Conservation Assistance Program. And what that project will do is it will take the parks and trails and greenways and bike lane work that is being done across our region and combine that into a regional plan where our residents have greater access to our rivers as well. And one project that I wanted to share with you briefly is the Midtown Hattiesburg Master Plan. This was a master plan that was done I was involved with a previous role that I had. And some of the principles in the plan included connecting and greening communities, making the streets more bike and pedestrian friendly, addressing stormwater management, and creating an urban forest to green the community. So this plan was adopted and the ordinance were put in place to implement it. It's actually between a hospital, a university, and a clinic. It's an area that can be a walkable mixed-use area. You see the image is definitely an unhealthy environment. Even the billboard is not necessarily the best advertisement there. But if we look at the planned corridor for that area, it's a dramatic change. You have places for people to walk safely, to bike in a protected bike lane, and you have trees that provide shade. Again, just another image of how the built environment can be unhealthy and how it does not promote people to have active living and to be outside. If we change our built environment and we create places that are green and shaded and places for people to bike and walk, this is what we want our communities to be. So what's next for health-oriented planning? It's really health in all policies. It's looking at all policies that a city or county undertakes and how we can make sure that how health will be impacted is considered with each policy, and also additional research. If you're interested in additional resources that are available on the American Planning Association website, those include fact sheets. They were uploaded as a part of this session also. The City Parks Forum briefing papers are available. And lastly, there's a new clearinghouse that's another partnership between APHA and APA on the built environment, and it's called Building Bridges. And if you're interested, I really encourage you to take a look at this website because it's going to be a clearinghouse for all research done on the built environment. And so with that, I'm going to introduce our first speaker,